Super Gamecast 64, episode 98. Today on the show, we're talking about some Capcom news. We're talking about some PUBG, Okami.
Some Capcom news and some Destiny blues?
Yeah, I mean, one could say that. I'm a little echoey, but my co-hosts sound fine. You know who sounds better?
I want to talk about phone games.
Matt's in the no-no chamber. That's why he's so echoey.
Oh.
Hey, what's up, guys? Super Gamecast 64. It's a comedy show. It's also a video game show. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, we got...
It's me. It's Kevin. My name's Trey. I got a basketball game tomorrow.
Who's that over there?
I got the sociopath.
Well, close. That's Tyler. Yeah, it's a comedy show. It's also a video game show. If you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. We have come into December. It is getting cold.
It is getting
wintery, bro.
It is.
Are you enjoying the snowfall?
I love it.
Of course, man. I just want to go snowboarding.
So, when Brother Frost spreads his love across the United States.
Mr. White Christmas. Mr. Snow.
He comes and he sprays all of his goodness on the whole earth.
Just flakes all over the place.
And then we just get really cold and everyone drinks hot cocoa.
Snow Miser doesn't flake.
Anyways, so in the winter months in the games industry... We're gearing up for Game of the Year. Well, if you're a journalist thingy like us, you know, podcast, we do Game of the Year, best of that. So that's what we've been doing for the last, 3 weeks, and then for the next also 3 weeks. But in between that stuff, there's been some news, there's been some other games that have come out, and hey, we thought it'd be nice to check in before we do a Christmas episode, and then our 100th episode, which will be Game of the Year 2017 stuff.
Did you hear about that, Tyler?
No.
Doing simple math, we're on episode 98. Christmas episode 99.
I'm sorry, are you telling me something, Corvo?
Yes.
What?
Episode 100 is Game of the Year.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
It was preordained by men much older than us.
Written in stone.
Generations, eons ago.
I'm pretty sure Matt started this like 8 years ago.
Mercury 11. Is in retrograde. 11?
Yeah, so okay.
You were
Mercury's in retrograde, you shithead. Oh, I think I just blew out the mic. Oh, it was Kevin. Doesn't matter.
It was worth it. It was a good job.
So, guys, yeah, we talk about video games. Let's get into the good of it. We do have some news to talk about, so let's do that. Bring on the news.
Nudes?
What do you guys want to talk about first? There was the PlayStation Experience. There was the Video Game Awards. There was the Capcom stuff and all the Destiny kerfuffle. What do you guys want to start off with? Let's pull.
I don't know. I think since Tyler is back,
we should check in with him.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Exactly that.
I definitely have news. I am expecting twins.
No. Wait, is this a new development?
Yes, it's a new development.
2 6 inches subs don't count.
$5.
Look.
I don't know why I said it like that, but you know what? That's how it went.
But you get 2 6 inch subs. Like, you put it together, it's not one big foot long sub. All right. There's like one roast beef and one...
You're getting off message.
A bunch with peppers. I got engaged, y'all.
And he's been moving, but we said that on previous episodes.
Right.
That's why Tyler was... Tyler found out how fun wedding planning is.
Oh, yeah, we're done. Yes. Like, it's over. We're finished. We've booked everyone.
Did you guys just do...
Oh, the booking is not where it ends, my friend.
You got to send out those invitations. Are you going to do evitations?
Nope.
You're going to have some nice... Well, don't spoil it for me. All right? I don't want
to... Yeah. Do you really want me to tell you what you're not going to get?
Hey, wow. God.
That was a good joke.
Hashtag murdered by words.
Yeah. I'm so sad. Hashtag... Put that in that subreddit.
I got to search for the burn centers.
So Tyler got engaged. Congratulations to Tyler.
Woo.
From the SGC64 family.
Somebody loves him.
Somebody loves Tyler.
Makes one.
Aw, don't say it like that. It's the Christmas cheer, or, you know, whatever holiday it's your... It's the cheer holidays.
It's December cheer. Yeah. It's winter cheer.
Everyone loves everyone during Christmas.
The winter solstice, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, candle nights, Christmas.
Shoots out. It's full of cheer, unless Festivus. You're trying to get them good deals, like the Black
the
Friday deals,
us.
And everyone's all upset. We've gotten so off message. So congratulations to Tyler.
Hey.
Yeah, you did it. Good job.
Hell yeah. More info on that forthcoming. Well, you'll hear an episode.
We're going to announce when his reception is so that and where.
Probably not.
Sweet.
Here's the one question.
So then all five of you can show up.
Big wedding, small wedding.
Because
I don't know the size.
What
of
is
your,
big?
Your, oh,
125.
Like 200 plus?
Are we talking fat Greek or are we talking...
Do I look like a fat Greek? No.
It was a joke. Big, fat Greek. Yeah, you get it.
Ah. I didn't.
Ah.
I'm not that...
Peanut butter baby.
Ah. I'm not that fast. I'm not that quick. I'm not that witty. I am, however, having 125 people, including ourselves, which was funny because we made the list and then counted ourselves.
oh, right, we gotta go.
And took some people off because it was over 125.
Well, that's a decent cut for a wedding.
Hey,
that's like mid-size.
I want to ask you guys, what do you think? If I receive a no on the RSVP, is it okay to like pick up the phone
second
and go,
second string?
Hey. I got a no on my invitation. Do you want to come?
I mean, yeah. I wouldn't phrase it like that, but hey, you were my second choice out of 125. You weren't even in the top 125, dude.
Sorry, I mean, I got 80 family members from both sides combined.
Welcome to my world. That's why I had 200 people at my wedding.
She literally sacrificed some of her family so I could invite you people.
She sacrificed them? Do you realize Jesus she just Christ. Had to not invite them, right? Like, not kill them.
Blood sacrifice is the best way to start
joke
a marriage.
To come back on that one.
Blood sacrifice is the best way to start a marriage. I read that in Men's Health magazine.
Our cousin's blood.
Depends.
When they said you had to sacrifice a kid, they didn't mean a person. They meant a goat.
You gotta double down on the
with two D's.
Let's get into video games, guys.
Double down on that D.
Oh Jesus Christ! This is an explicit show,
right?
Just so you know.
Not for kids.
So Capcom
or goats.
Capcom was like, hey, 30th anniversary for Mega Man. You're going to want to watch the special stream we're doing. It's gonna blow your proverbial socks
Please
off.
Look forward to
I
this.
Took...
That's Iwata.
That makes me
that's
so
not,
sad.
That's not Capcom people. But you go ahead, Tyler, you were saying something?
I took lunch early so I could watch this because I needed it.
Yes. And so going in, there is the expectation of what, either the X Collection. I think we both said that.
You said that. I was like, I didn't even know this thing was happening.
But if they were going to announce something.
This would be it. This would be the time.
So Capcom did like an hour-long quiz show with some streamers. And it was, I mean, I guess if you like the community.
I mean, Mega Man was on it. That was dope.
Yeah, so it's like if you like him. And then they started the...
Apparently he did a show.
Oh, for real?
On the stream.
Oh, okay. I saw like that they were
doing that part.
They were doing talky stuff, and then I popped back in when they were doing the actual presentation. Long story short, they are releasing Mega Man X, the series, in its entirety. We're not sure if it's either a collection or if they're selling them piecemeal, but their Mega Man X series, it might be sold separately. It was from a Kotaku article, but that's going to be on all systems.
Let me ask you, what would you pay per game maximum?
How much are they charging on the eStore? For the Nintendo Switch.
For the what?
For like 3DS. Like Mega Man X on the 3DS.
I think it was $10.
I would say 10 to 15.
Yeah, 10 to 15, but they'll charge 20. Ooh, you know what? I think they would charge 15 per.
But you have to pay. You have to pay in multiplier, so whatever X you're buying, you have to pay that much more.
X8
so
is really bad.
Well,
not,
ooh, $80. God, that is not worth.
And even
you wouldn't pay $80 for
$20? No.
The
for X8.
So if you are a fan of Mega Man, but you never got deep into the X series, whether you own an Xbox One, a PS4, a Nintendo Switch, or maybe PC. Are they doing a PC as well? Who knows?
Who knows?
At least all consoles.
Who knows?
You can pick those up, I believe, early 2018.
Would you buy this if they included Mighty No. 9?
No.
I would
like
specifically
would
not buy
go
it.
Go out of your way to not buy it.
Yeah, or I would edit the game. To my capacity of editing games.
You would learn how
to... I would learn how to code so I could take it out.
Cut off the end of the cartridge.
Yeah, exactly.
If we use cartridges in game systems. You know, cartridges.
I have beaten two...
What's a cartridge?
I have beaten two levels of Mega Number 9.
Those people are doctors now. Did you know that?
What?
We were talking about cartridges, and he said, what's a cartridge? And so I mimicked, you know, the blow.
Yeah,
blow. It's his audio program.
Yeah, I know.
That's why
it was a special joke for Tyler, and he brought it out.
We've tried everything.
He brought it out into the light and beat it senseless.
Speaking of bringing things out to the light, it doesn't, I mean, that didn't line at all.
Oh, Special Boy! Special Boy was released!
No, I mean, this is still Mega Man news.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah.
What
if
else
you played
today?
Legacy Collection 2, there was an Easter egg of Special Boy I think that's what it was called.
Yeah, it was like concept art. And they,
right,
they,
for one of the powers. Yeah. And then they released, you know, Mega Man 11.
Yeah, so they had... Tyler kind of buried that real quick there at the end.
Hatchet.
Yeah, so Legacy Collection 2 came out. I didn't like that very much, but they had a bunch of concept art. And like you said, one of them was this little Mega Man guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, at the end of the stream, they're like, hey, X stuff isn't just, that's not all we're doing. We're doing Mega Man 11. And it's not 8-bit like Mega Man 9 or 10. It's like 2.5D. Some of the stuff is hand-drawn. It looks like kind of like Mighty No. 9 in a way.
It also kind of looks like better. Cuphead. If Cuphead was an action platformer Mega Man game.
Yeah, very different visual style, but it's Cuphead is Mega Man.
Yeah, I was going to say, so Cuphead.
Right.
Cuphead stole.
What did I say?
I don't know. Some jumble of words. I don't listen to you.
It's probably for the best, really.
Mega Man
I'm
11.
Not the part of the show that people listen to.
What? Sorry.
Mega Man 11 is, what, late 2018 then, yeah?
Yeah, they were saying late 2018.
And that'll be also Xbox One, PS4, and Nintendo Switch. They were very much like, hey, we're doing Switch. And I think having Mega Man's on the Switch is a great way to go.
Uh-huh.
Play on the go, you save, you don't have to worry about beating the whole level.
I like how robust the library for Switch is getting. I like that people are really turning a lot of focus to the system.
Well, you know why it's getting so much support?
Because it's good.
It's awesome.
Why don't you lead with that next news story?
All right, so real quick. Remember when the Switch came out and you were like, it's not like the Wii U or the Wii or anything that Nintendo's done. There's no music. There's no music to it.
Yeah, there's no background. Yeah.
And it still bothers me every time I turn on my Wii and it goes boop and that's it.
I like the little noises it makes though.
Well, yeah, but like every single console, Nintendo console, had some sort of eShop music or the Wii menu music. Nintendo Switch is just like the snaps and stuff.
I turn mine on and immediately start going doop, 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 doop.
So you sing to it.
But if the Switch did it itself, that would be way cooler.
Beep, 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 beep.
Despite,
I disagree.
Despite how many musical notes they have, don't tap on the table. We're picking this. Sorry for that.
Tyler really got caught up in that Wii Shop music.
How about that bass, that percussion?
No trouble.
Nintendo sold how many Switches this year, guys?
Nintendo sold 10 million Switches in 9 months.
Those numbers just came out. Yeah, 9 months. Not even year to date. That thing came out 10 mil. That's a lot. Do you guys know how
that's
many like the
lot.
Wii U sold? Just lifetime?
Probably not enough because they never stocked it anywhere.
Well, and that's why they also
that was a big problem.
They also in the Capcom stream announced, I think this was either VGAs or PSX. They announced that Bayonetta 3 is on Switch, but also they're bringing Bayonetta 2 combined with Bayonetta 1 to Switch because Bayonetta 2 is only on the
that's
Wii.
Bayonetta.
What?
That means 3. Two,
man, you
got to
back up from your mic. A little
two time. Combined with one is three.
Let me do it again. What?
Yeah. Tyler has the deep bassy voice. You're fine.
He also doesn't know how to modulate the volume.
You gotta back up.
101.63 million units sold. Wii.
101. No, Wii U. Wii was one of the top. Wii was like what, number three best selling or number two? PS2 is the best selling console of all time because it's essentially a DVD player.
That's why I bought it.
Yeah, it was an affordable DVD player at the time. But the Wii U, yeah. Can you get that number real quick? I'm not surprised. They had a good marketing thing behind the Switch. The portability is pretty fun. I think they were a little bit silly in assuming people are going to bring it to rooftop parties and whatnot.
Actually, I brought it to a rooftop party last week. So
how much? What'd you play?
I played NBA 2K18.
Why did you just play basketball on the roof? You lose the ball, you're done.
Right. Well, right. What that and last time we did that, Tyler fell off.
That's a good point. And then I fell off trying to
spot.
Get. What's that number, Tyler? Did you find it or not?
It's fuzzy, so no.
It's probably not an accurate number, but
so, outlook wait, unclear. Wait.
As of September 30th, Notendo.
Right.
I've been corrupted by
Nintendo. Reel it in, boys.
Turn off your Notendo.
Nintendo has sold 13.56 million Wii U consoles worldwide since it released in 2012.
Wait, 13.5?
So
that's low.
That's five years. They've only managed to sell 3 million more than the
Switch. And I was one of the suckers who bought one.
I mean, it's still a decent system. You got 3D Worlds on it and stuff. Breath of the Wild is on it. It's not a bad system. It's just, compared to the Switch, the Wii U is like a Fisher-Price version of it.
Did you guys know that they're projected to surpass Wii U?
In the first year.
By their anniversary?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Think about how hard the Wii U is defined compared to the Switch.
I have one in my house.
Yeah. I mean, it's heavens.
Yeah, it's mine.
Kevin, let me borrow it so I can play Bayonetta 2.
I already told somebody they could borrow it so that they could play Breath of the
Wild.
Get in line. Oh, Breath of the Wild.
You want to play Smash?
I like Smash, but I have it on my 3DS.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll play it on 3DS.
Oh, I do play Smash, and I have
Let's
a pretty
good... Let's make plans later, boys.
We're talking about fucking Smash. I love it. Anyways, so shouts out to Nintendo. Good job, guys. It's good to see them get a hardware success. You know, they struggled with the GameCube. Yeah, the Wii was really, really, really good. The Wii U, people are starting to think maybe Nintendo should get out of the business. You know, it wasn't what people wanted.
Get into that mobile market.
The big old pad. Yeah, nobody wanted this stupid big old dumb pad.
Well, the Switch is essentially...
Wait a minute. What if it's the whole thing and that's it?
The Switch is essentially the smaller, sleeker version of the Wii U. I feel like the Wii U was the prototype version. But besides Nintendo...
Oh, hey. Hold on. There's Bayonetta news.
Yes. Well, Bayonetta 2, Bayonetta 3 coming out on Switch. Let's talk about this Destiny 2 DLC stuff. Now, this has all been resolved, Kevin.
Yes, more or less.
But when the Destiny 2 DLC came out, Destiny 2 Curse of Osiris is what they called it, what had happened was they raised the overall level that you could reach, and then they also raised the recommendation, or even sometimes requirements, of your level to enter certain activities. This might sound confusing, but baseline, what happened was stuff you could play in the original game became locked unless you bought the DLC. So stuff that was once available, they released the DLC that is not free, it's paid.
And all of a sudden, you can't access it.
So Monday night, you could be in the middle of that activity, and then as soon as the DLC comes out, oops, sorry, reset. No, nope, you can't play it.
What exactly did they close off?
They raised the prestige raid from 300 to 310, and 305 is the max level that you can reach in vanilla. So in the normal Destiny 2 game, it was just 300. You know, you get to the max level, you can do the prestige raid. And they went, oh, well, let's raise it to 310. But you can only get to level 310 if you have the DLC.
So if you don't own the DLC,
you cannot run the prestige raid. Right. Yeah. And then there was a few other things.
Prestige Nightfall was also locked. Or it had the potential to be locked. If it was a strike that was exclusive to Curse of Osiris, you just couldn't do the Nightfall that week.
The funniest thing about all this is with all the kerfuffle of Star Wars going on, it was like Destiny. All you had to do was not screw up.
Yeah, yeah, seriously.
So, like, honestly.
And then they screwed up momentously.
Like, you could still theoretically get Destiny 2 from a family member on Christmas if you played the cards right.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole quarter is going to be sci-fi. It's going to be sci-fi the entire time.
The point is they locked that vanilla content, like you said, Christmas has not come to pass yet. There's still people who are going to get Destiny 2. Some kids will get it for Christmas. And content that was available at launch, they will not be able to get anymore, but you're paying the same amount of money. Now, this has been fixed. So
yeah, because Microsoft was taking returns.
Yeah, so there's people who are returning Destiny because of this.
And so they fixed, quote-unquote, the content.
Not a great way.
Not in a great way. I mean, it's still going to piss off a lot of people, but certainly a lot less, a lot fewer.
The Destiny community in general is super hard to please.
Yeah.
Tyler, what are you saying?
No, because I'm speechless.
Yeah, your mouth is kind of like half open, but it's like a gape. So what they did is they had a bunch of stuff that was supposed to be coming out a few days after the Curse of Osiris DLC launched. So like the little raid lair that was added with the DLC, there was going to be a prestige version of that. There was going to be something called Faction Rally, which is kind of a community thing. You pick a side and you get points when you fight online or whatever.
Monarchy.
Okay, so you know what it is. It's fun. People enjoy it. There's a few other things. They came out and they said, hey, to fix these issues with the paywall, the DLC, we're essentially rolling back the difficulty. Also, we're canceling Faction Rally. There is no Raid Lair Prestige that's coming out right
now.
What? Yeah, so to fix the stuff, they canceled all the other stuff. And it's just so... It's no win-win here. It's like either you're happy because the stuff that got locked is unlocked, which shouldn't have happened in the first place. But in order to do that, they canceled the stuff that people were looking forward to.
I'm a little peeved because I have been defending Destiny for years at this point. They screwed up with Destiny 1.
Didn't they do the same thing?
The first two expansions were doo-doo, and then Taken King came out and completely revitalized and completely redefined the entire game as a whole.
Destiny Vanilla was not garbage.
Destiny 1 Vanilla?
Yeah, Destiny 1 Vanilla was not garbage.
I only played Destiny 1 Vanilla. Vanilla, for those who are uninitiated, it means just without any DLCs.
No sprinkles.
Yeah, just the normal base game.
What I mean by that is that it is a good game through and through until you get to the grind portion.
Yeah,
and the grind portion quick. In vanilla, it was trash.
Yes.
Yeah, but the story was also
not told very well.
Yeah, it was kept behind weird mechanics. There are people. There's actually, I'm pretty sure there's a Cracked article about how Destiny 1 has like a Star Wars level space opera hidden inside of it because it's once true. You unlock all that information, it's amazing.
I can attest to this. We won't spoil anything, but in the new DLC, there is a really cool visual thing, a nice cool thing. You could consider it kind of an Easter egg, but it's meant to be found. But it's very specific to people who know Destiny 1 lore. If you don't know the Destiny 1 lore, it's just like a cool little thing you see. But if you know Destiny 1 lore, it like connects some dots and it fills in some of the story between Destiny 1 and 2, which is cool.
Are you not going to tell them what it is?
No, because it spoils.
It just came out this week.
Yeah,
never mind.
It's Curse of Osiris content. We will talk about that stuff specifically. Not too much, because me and Kevin have to do other stuff for a 90skid.com. If you want to know more about me and Kevin's specific opinions on the Curse of Osiris DLC, head to a 90skid.com. But before we hop off into game talk, specific games, we have one last thing.
Wait, this is all news?
This is all news.
Yeah, this is all news.
Jeez.
If you guys saw the VGAs, that's the Video Game Awards, I watched it. I streamed it with Matt from A 90s Kid. We had a stream. We watched it together. It was like 3 hours long. The VGAs are the Game Awards, what they're called. It's Jeff Keighley. He puts them on. It's his own show. He runs it. He's been running it for 4 years before that.
Also known as Dorito Pope.
Yeah, Dorito Pope. Dorito Pope, The Return.
Wait, didn't I miss that episode last year?
I think you did.
You did a year to date. You
Holy smokes!
Well, but he's back here. So the Game Awards.
Hey, Matt, I don't mean to interrupt you, but can I swear on this?
Yes.
Can I swear?
Yeah, this is the internet. You can swear.
Okay. Fuck the Oscars.
Hand wave.
No, fuck them. Trust it.
Gotta do it three times. So what Kevin's alluding to is at the Game Awards, not only do
the most uncomfortable shit ever happens every single year.
I thought it was epic. I was in disbelief. If you are on the 90s Kid Facebook group, you can find the stream because YouTube blocked it. But my reaction during that 5 minutes was insane. Tyler is looking at me expectantly, so let me explain what happened. Besides giving out game awards at the Game Awards, they have new trailers. They announce new things because it's just run by Jeff Keighley. A lot of this is done by sponsorships. It's not put on TV. This is done on the internet. So corporate sponsorships, they had a lot of stuff from eBay this year, McDonald's, Uber Eats and stuff. But they have developers come up and show their stuff. So there's this really interesting game coming out called A Way Out. It is a co-op only game, which a little news piece here, you have to play it co-op, but like the 3DS, only one person needs to own the game to play it. And this is Xbox One and PS4.
Wow.
So it means you buy the game, and if you want to play with a friend, they can just download it. I don't know how they're going to work it out. But anyways, it's a co-op experience. It's kind of an adventure action. You play split screen either online or local. The guy who made it also made Brother, A Tale of Two Sons, which if you remember is the game where you control the two guys, one with one joystick, one with the other. Very interesting and artistic games. This guy is essentially the Tommy Wiseau of video games, meaning he's Eastern European, very eccentric, talks slightly broken English, just loves the hell out of his industry. He also was a filmmaker before he got into games. He made like 6 feature films. So he comes up on the Game Awards to show the new trailer, the release date for his game, A Way Out, and proceeds to entirely hijack the show, claiming he's jet-lagged, but he's either high on some sort of either coke or drunk off his ass. Who the hell knows? He was well-spoken enough where I don't think he was drunk. But he says, he turns and he goes, hey, the interactive game industry is awesome. He points to the crowd and the whole spectacle behind him and says, you know, the Oscars should fuck themselves up. This shit is the best. And Jeff Keighley started to look a little bit uncomfortable because, you know, corporate sponsorship. And he goes, whoa, sorry, can I swear on this? He goes, yeah, it's on the internet. So then he goes, fuck the Oscars. And then deadpans into the camera, fuck the Oscars, and then flicks off the camera full view with his face and fuck the Oscars. And then Jeff Keighley's like, whoa, because this guy's just up there to show a trailer for his game.
Right.
And he's hijacked. And then he starts just kind of babbling about like, look, I don't care about this EA bullshit with the Star Wars loot crate. Then I think he remembers that EA is publishing his game. So then he backpedals and he's like, hey, some people fuck up or whatever. Jeff Keighley the whole time is trying to find a way just to push it.
Oh my God. It's the most uncomfortable thing.
He's not sure if he should cut him off. And he's like, all right, well, let's get to the trailer. He's like, hold on. One minute. This is my time to shine. And he hijacks the whole show for 5 minutes. Eventually, they get the trailer out. But that day, a legend was born. You either love him or you hate him. But he took his, was supposed to be probably 30 seconds in the trailer, and hijacked the show for at least 3 minutes, saying, fuck the Oscars, bring up Star Wars Battlefront randomly, talking shit on EA, and then backpedaling because EA is doing his game. It was the wildest thing. What was his name, Kevin? Do you remember?
Joseph something? He was the one who did Brothers.
Yeah, Brothers and A Way Out. If you just Google Game Awards A Way Out or Game Awards Fuck the Oscars, you will be able to find it very easily. It was the one thing that came out and kind of hit more than just video game media. The game of the year, since we're here, the game of the year for the Game Awards was Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yeah.
Best indie was Cuphead. Shouts out to the president. What do you call the Canadian Prime Minister? I don't even know, dude.
Prime Minister.
Yeah, the Prime Minister. He was like, congratulations to Cuphead devs. What's up, Tyler?
Joseph Faris?
Okay, Faris? Joseph Faros or something.
F-A-R-E-S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
505 published that.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
505 is a good developer, or a good publisher. I'm definitely excited for A Way Out, but that was crazy. We're hitting about 25 minutes in, guys. Are you guys ready to get into the specific games that we have played?
I'm ready.
Usually, you know, we kind of just have this, it's just a stream of consciousness. We never like denote when we're going to talk about certain things. We just jump from news straight into specific games, straight out of into the mobile corner. So I think, you know, from now on, we should start at least letting people know when we're transitioning to the next bullet point.
So there's no more jump cuts.
Yeah, yeah. So from now on, these are specific games we're going to talk about. We played these games over the course of the past few weeks. Some of them are old, some of them are new. This one,
Why don't you kick it off?
Well, that's what I'm kicking it off with, right? This first one is both old and new. It's PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds for the Xbox One, the game preview. Kevin, you played this a lot when it was on PC.
I did.
When did it release? Summer?
Yes. Late spring, early summer last year, I would say.
If you haven't heard of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, I don't. I want to know the rock you're living under because I would like to live under it with you.
Yeah, I don't seriously. Like people. It ranked twice on Steam's like top played games.
It ranked twice. Yeah, a ton, millions and millions of people. It's essentially Hunger Games, the game. And 100 people get dropped on, or you and 99 other people get dropped onto this big, massive island. You run around, collect guns. Last person surviving wins. Third person and first person. It's a game that started out early access. It's finally getting its 1.0, so a quote-unquote official release this month. But on the Xbox One, just this week, we got the early version. I think it's actually client 0.5.2, so not near 1.0. Kevin, you played both.
Yes.
I've only played Xbox One. How does it compare? Because visually, I know this has an Xbox One X enhanced patch or whatever, so a frame rate might be a little bit better, but we're playing on the OG Xbox. Are you playing on a Slim or are you playing on an original?
OG.
Okay. The game is still fun at the core.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the framework is there.
It's still a fun game. I think even Tyler, who doesn't play PUBG, you can respect the idea of getting, you know, 100-person battle. That's what sold, what was that PS3 game, Mag? That was the whole idea. Like, 250 people, y'all shoot. Tons of people. Tons of fun. But the game runs bad.
It's crazy, too, because this is not the first game to do this sort of thing. PlanetSide is one that comes to mind, where there were hundreds of people. PlanetSide 2.
Yeah,
PlanetSide 2. Hundreds of people in huge scale combat. Now, obviously, not mechanically as, you know, intensive, I would imagine, to some degree, but I don't know. It just seems like, you know, it is an early access game, which I'm usually not huge
on. Yeah, I don't expect too much.
You know, the textures can be a little weird. Yes. I didn't have as much pop-in on PC as I did on Xbox. Like, I literally jumped down, I landed on the ground, I walked into a house, and I tried walking into a wall, and I couldn't. I was about 5 feet away from that wall, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't go in the wall. And all of a sudden, the stairs appeared, and I was walking upstairs. Just some weird texture pop in.
Well,
and
that's like beyond pop in. So the game starts, you guys, you're all in an airplane, you parachute down, and this you're trying to loot houses. Like, usually pop in occurs because, like, oh, you're just now getting to the radius in which the trees are going to start appearing. What Kevin's saying is the same thing that happened to me. I run to a house, open up, looking around, and like bumping into something invisible. And then all of a sudden, everything in the room appears. All the couches and all the, you know, all the furniture that was supposed to be there just appears. It is now popped in. It did not load originally. And the thing that really screws me up about PUBG is that people were giving, they're complaining about 30 FPS versus 60 FPS. Because they said it was going to run 60 frames per second on the Xbox One X, and then he came out and said, hey, it's 30 frames per second across the board. This might not matter to some people, but in a game that it's every shot counts and it's very really tactical,
does. It really
you
does.
Don't want your game to chug.
Now, I will admit, basically from the intro lobby to the plane that you jump out of.
And then getting on the ground, probably.
And then getting on the ground. After that, smooth sailing.
Yeah, unless you're in a perfect. Super big fight. Then yeah. You might see some lag. But leading up to that, the preloading screen and the plane and dropping in, specifically when you're parachuting down and looking around you, it's like 10 FPS, sub 10. It is bad. And I don't know, you know, whatever reason, but the idea that people were complaining about not getting 60 FPS blows my mind because I have no clue how they thought they were going to get it in the first place.
Oh, even on PC. Like, I have a pretty powerful PC. It's aged at this point, but it can run most modern games very well. Like,
this shit is barely holding 25 FPS straight.
I had to go through all sorts of, like, post-processing tweaking and stuff like that. Like, I tweaked the shit out of this game and optimized it, and I still was, like, only able to milk, like, 40, 50 FPS.
I think the reason it chugs so hard is because it has to be able to load a lot of the map. A lot of PUBG is being able to snipe all the way across, so you can't, and it's not a small map. Like, this thing to probably run from one side to the other, just with you running, 25 minutes, 30 minutes maybe. You need to get a car sometimes, or you'll just die. The game itself is $30. It's preview, so it's not finished. They'll be updating it. I've played a few matches that you can play by yourself, play with another guy or a girl and whatever, you're a friend, and then you can play with a squad of four. I've done multiple matches of each. I've won one match. That was fun. I've died a bunch, and that's frustrating. Overall, I don't think it's really worth it right now. If you have a PC, yes. But here's the thing. On Xbox, Fortnite is free. And a lot of people who are playing Fortnite Battle Royale enjoy that much more than PUBG, it seems. Because Fortnite Battle Royale is just a little bit more polished, a little bit easier for the casual player. And I would say if you're interested in the Battle Royale mode, go ahead, download Fortnite, and try that. And maybe PUBG if you're looking for something more tactical.
I might have to give that a shot. I don't think any of us have done that.
No, we played the original Fortnite.
Yeah.
And then I was turned off by how that turned out. I guess I was talking to somebody last night, and I guess they're still supporting that main game. I guess the whole push into Battle Royale. What I feared was that they would ignore the main game in terms for Battle Royale. And I guess the push towards Battle Royale, all the people coming in, has kind of reinvigorated the main game.
Good.
So like right now in the Battle Royale 50 versus 50 mode, if you do a certain amount of matches, you unlock characters in the actual single player or main game. Sorry, yeah, Fortnite's kind of confusing.
Fortnite was the one that got away from me, man. I really had a lot of hope in that game.
Yeah, and you were super excited.
I mentioned that last episode too, but
changed
still,
something else.
I'm still burning a candle for them. We'll see what happens.
We have a lot of friends who enjoy the 50 versus 50 deathmatch.
I really got to try that. I don't know why I haven't up to this point.
Just because I'm soured on it. There's so many other things to play. We're playing so many other things. Here's something that I played. Unless you had any closing comments on PUBG. Nope. It literally came out the other day.
I mean, I think it's worth $30. It's a good game. There are things that are easier on Xbox than were on PC. Namely, figuring out your bullet drop. Mm-hmm. You can actually see it a lot better.
There is no auto aim, by the way. There is no aim assist.
I also will admit, the movement in that game is so good. Like, the joystick response.
Yes.
The horizontal and vertical axes are so smooth.
It feels snappy. It feels
good.
Dude,
it's nice. And the other thing, and I'm sure you guys, if you're fans of video games, you probably heard this a million times, but the control scheme is really interesting.
Yeah, they
like
packed
really
a lot of
cool,
stuff.
Really cool.
Packed a lot of stuff in there.
Each just as a quick aside, the controls change based on what view mode you're in. So if you're aiming down sight, the controls are different. That specifically geared towards, zeroing in your shot and everything like that. And then furthermore, they're even more different when you're in looking down a scope, something like that.
There's a bunch of different options. It's good. They managed to put a lot of those keyboard options onto a controller without sacrificing the versatility that a keyboard and mouse offered you. PUBG's a fun time. Let's talk about this other game. It came out in November. It's a small one-off. I played a few levels of it. Lego Super Marvel 2. It's Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2. It has all the people from the MCU. It's kind of this weird crossover. The hook of it, though, is that this evil guy has come down and he screws with time. So you go back into like old medieval Lego. There's a bunch of different areas. You go into Thor's place. You go into all over the place. But you can play as like Doctor Strange, Black Panther, and each kind of level sums up sometimes one movie. So like Doctor Strange has an area. I enjoyed it. I would say visually it's probably one of the better looking Lego games as of late. But it's still a Lego game. So you're going to be doing little puzzles. Fun for co-op. So if you have a kid specifically or somebody who may be new to video games, I always recommend Lego. And with the Marvel Ultimate or Marvel CU, also mainstream and so popular, that's definitely a way to go.
Gives you a chance to play as your favorite superheroes.
Yeah, I also like the Harry Potter one, but I'm a real big fan of Harry Potter books. Tyler, what would you say is your favorite Lego game?
Didn't actually play them.
Never. There's so many. You never got around to any of them?
Yeah, I know.
If you had to pick between Star Wars, Harry Potter,
see, that's
Lord
the
of the
thing.
Rings.
Like, none of them have been given a fair shake, so I can't say.
But out of the franchises, like, if you had to play one, there's like a bunch of Star Wars.
I would probably
ones.
Play Harry Potter.
Harry Potter? Yeah, it's a good one. I think...
Star Wars, just, it's never been my bag. Is there a Mega Man one?
Lego Mega Man. No, I think...
Lego Man.
The closest thing to that is, like, Lego Worlds, which is like a Minecraft, but Lego. But that's not even that great.
That sounds awesome. Is that a thing?
Yes, it's called Lego Worlds. I was very excited for it, but... Some people say it's not great. It's on Xbox One.
I'm sure it's not great. It's a ripoff.
I just want to do it because you can buy it and then maybe look up like Lego instructions and build virtual Legos without spending like $100 on it. You know, like
that's
but
a
I don't
really
know.
Good idea. Let's
I don't
find
know.
Out.
Somebody else said that, so that you know, credit to them. Let's move on. Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2. You can get it. Came out mid-November. Like I said, it's a good game. It's a good time if you like Marvel superheroes and you like Lego. Shoo-in. Get it. Great family time. Two players. Another thing I played, Doom VFR. Boys, remember Doom? I fought for that pretty hard last year on Best of 2016.
Did. You really did.
It was a great time. Doom VFR, kind of, it's pretty okay time. So Doom VFR is for the PlayStation VR only. Well, I mean, you can play it on Steam VR, but there's like a weird workaround because Bethesda has like a weird thing. Instead of being Doom 2016 in VR... It's like a side story. You play as a person who talks, which is kind of weird. I don't really know what the story is because it's just delivered through voiceover that's not mixed very well. But what it is it's VR Doom. You can use DualShock. You can use Move Controller. You can use that Aim Controller. And you run around and you blast demons. It's that stuff you've come to love. The main problem I have with it, even though it looks clear, it looks better than Skyrim VR, which is a little bit blurry, is there's not one control scheme that's good. This is a good time just to bring into this. Skyrim VR finally got smooth turning, which means you can turn, instead of in increments, you can just smoothly turn like you're on a dolly. That makes some people feel sick, so sometimes they don't add it. But for me, I love it. Doom VFR doesn't have a single option in which you can move like that, free movement, unless you're using the DualShock 4. So you have to pick between... playing a game normally, you know, with the DualShock, or the cool immersion of being able to move around your guns and your grenades and all that stuff independently, and the Aim controller, which is a specific accessory that you can purchase, you know, aside from it, it's not really supported that well. So there's not one great way to play it. You know, I've heard people saying, oh, I like the Move controller's the best. I played through it on the DualShock 4. It's a good time, but the best time... is the classic Doom maps in it. I don't know if you guys saw when I streamed that or if you saw any of that. So in Doom 2016, if you found these little plush Doom guys, you got...
Oh, yeah, and you can fist bump them.
Uh-huh.
Yep, I remember
that. They unlocked classic Doom maps from Doom 1 and 2. Cool. Now in Doom VFR, you can play that in VR. It mixes the classic Doom levels, but with the modern enemies and modern guns. And I played a lot of Doom when I was a kid. So being able to play it in VR was a dream come true. Unfortunately, every time you beat a level, and some of these levels are like 10 seconds, 15 seconds long, it kicks you all the way back to the title screen. Like, you have to reload your whole entire save, and it's not fun. Beyond that, the main game itself is like 2 hours, maybe 2.5 to 3, depending on your difficulty. And then if you play through all those classic maps, maybe 20 minutes, depending on if you played it before. So for the $30, pretty decent. If you're looking for a shooter VR kind of thing, I still think Until Dawn is the most fun. But it's crazy. The only other thing, and Tyler, I think you would appreciate this, is, or you would not appreciate this, Doom 2016, great soundtrack, right?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if you've heard it, but it's a good soundtrack.
I have heard someone else cover it, but yes.
Okay. Great soundtrack, And when you're blasting demons, you want to have some hardcore heavy metal music. This game does that. Doom VFR. You start killing the monsters. Boom. All of a sudden, hardcore guitar. There is like two tracks for the entire game. Every time you do combat. I mean, there is ambient music. But when combat starts specifically, they raise the mix on the music. And like, it's cool the first two times. And there's eight levels. But this Doom 2016, in which it's based, had a whole soundtrack. And I don't know if it was a size issue or whatever. It doesn't make any sense because music isn't that big in data. But there's literally two songs.
Now I'm gonna tell you another game that has two battle songs.
Yes.
Final Fantasy, all of them.
I would say you fight more in Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy. Do you think the combat music really adds to the tension of it?
No.
That's the thing about Doom VFR. Yeah, when that music comes in, it really punctuates the whole experience because it's just as gritty and metal as the game itself. Okay.
In Final Fantasy, it's a set piece.
You sound like you're complaining about this.
That's what I mean. Like if Doom 2016 had so many, you know, had 12 tracks, and Doom VFR only has two, you know, it would have been nice to hear a little bit more of a mix up of music. Wouldn't you agree? It's more music, the better.
If you have the music, why not use it?
Exactly. That's exactly my point. And that was one of my biggest issues with it.
Sounds like a patch.
Hopefully. And hopefully they'll get a movement patch in there too, so they can get something that's similar to Skyrim VR's Move controller.
Scrim.
Nothing really else on the VR front. At the PSX, this is kind of news content real quick. At the PSX, they announced that, what's the game called? Accounting Plus, which is made by the guy who made Stanley Parable.
This sounds awesome.
The guy who made Stanley Parable, and it's voiced by Justin Roiland. It's just a super wacky... That's the guy.
Yeah, you sent me that link. I remember that.
It's super, super wacky PSVR game. That's coming out December 19th, so this upcoming
You Friday. Also said Job Simulator's getting a...
Sequel.
Sequel?
It's called Vacation Simulator, and that's coming out in 2018 for PlayStation VR, Oculus, and Rift. Or Oculus and Vive.
Oculus and Rift.
The
same thing.
The 19th is a Tuesday.
Palmer lucky.
Okay, so the Tuesday coming up. It's the Tuesday after Star Wars. You can get that crazy game. It looks pretty nuts. So more PSVR stuff getting supported, which is good because they sold quite a bit. Let's talk about Hand of Fate 2.
Ooh.
Hand of Fate 2. Hand of Fate 1 was originally a game you got with Xbox Gold. Hand of Fate 2 is a $30 or $40 sequel. I played a lot of the first one. Kevin, you played only a little bit of the second one. Well, enough.
I played a little of the first one, but I've certainly played more of the second one at this point.
Here's the back of the box. This is how I explain it. It's choose-your-own-adventure books with D&D mixed in and then Batman combat. Now, Kevin took issue with
that. He keeps saying Batman combat. I kind of get it. I kind of get where you're coming from now that I played a little bit of it. Yes. I don't know if I'd go with Batman. I don't have a good counterpoint.
Batman being hack and slash?
Batman, specifically the Arkham. You know how like X is to hit, Y is to counter when a little thing comes over their head, and B is to break shield bash?
So like a rhythm fighting.
Yes.
Rise.
Okay. I think Batman was what did it first. Arkham? Or what did Rise come?
No. Rise was Rise. Xbox One.
Yeah, was that was original like, that Xbox was like One. That shipped with Xbox One.
Yeah.
Yep, you're completely right.
Well, but Batman was 360. Batman Arkham Asylum was like early 360.
Who is this guy? I don't know. He's like a
anyways, the reason I call it Batman Combat.
He's a savant.
The reason I call it Batman Combat is you don't have to run up to the guy and hit X. If you kind of hold a direction towards them, there's a magnetism where you hop from enemy to enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a rhythm to it, like Tyler said.
Rhythm.
Yeah, so you know, it's like hit, block, bash, do your
kick,
special move.
Punch. It's We're back to that. Again.
But that's the combat. When you're not in combat, it plays out in this... Kevin, you explain it because I feel like I'll over-explain it once again.
So the game progresses with a frame story in which you are playing a tarot-style board game kind of thing.
It's like a card game that you're playing on a table, but you move a little figurine.
So this mysterious stranger who is kind of detailing the story to you as you play is laying out cards for you that you move a figurine across, and as you land on a card, you flip it over, and a dialogue ensues. Usually he gives a couple sentence explanation as to what's going on or some sort of context to the text that you're seeing on screen. And the text is something like, oh, you see a small boy, and he clearly looks like a northerner. If you let him go, he might tell the northerners where your camp is. Do you kill him? And it's like, you have a choice to make at that point. Or you have a dice roll to succeed on. Or you have to choose from a number of cards that tell you whether you succeed or fail.
This is it's broken up across 22 challenges. Essentially, like, each thing has a story you play through, and then there's some cards that have their own story within them. So, you know, you'll start a card, and it'll be like, hey, you reach this magical treasure room, and if you pick the right thing and roll the right dice or do whatever the challenge is correctly, and you reach the end of the treasure, it's like, hey, you beat the card. And some of the cards will have tokens, which unlock the next card in the story. So that's why I say it's like choose your own adventure, because you can go through a lot of these challenges without doing combat, but you'll have to be good with dice rolls and picking stuff. I like it a bit.
The whole game as you progress is capitulated with combat. So usually if you fail a roll or you pick a card wrong, incorrectly, poorly, whatever, you have bad luck, you end up having to fight a number of enemies. And sometimes you have allies, sometimes you don't. It's a lot of fun.
There's like a deck building mechanic to it, because even if you don't finish the challenge, you might have beaten a card within there, and beating a card either unlocks, you know, the next card in that quest line and unlock different equipment that you can grab, tons of different stuff. And once you've played a challenge, you might figure out, oh, maybe I'm supposed to do this the next time. There's a replayability to it.
I really like how they handle the weapon system. So as you're playing, you can earn cards that represent these weapons that your character has found. But you don't really get to equip it until you come across it again in the next round of cards. So, for example, if I started with a sword and shield and eventually uncover an axe in my travels, I don't necessarily immediately get that axe. I have to uncover it again in the next...
It gets added to your weapon deck.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And you draw your weapon and mm-hmm.
yes,
situation. And you essentially draw the situation you're fallen into.
Exactly. And that's where the deck building aspect comes in. Because I can start the next challenge by going, you know what? I'm going to fight things that need, you know, a little bit heavier hand. So I'm going to use my axe this time.
While you're doing it, there is some restrictions. So, like, you do have health, obviously. Every time you move to a different card, it takes up, like, food. Because it's kind of like a weird Oregon Trail thing. You know, you're moving your way through the cards. You got
to
keep
supplies up. That's a really good way to put it.
You got to, you get gold that you can, you know, you can trade your equipment for gold. You can use to buy food and stuff. So there is a little small base level resource management, but nothing too difficult. And that's what I like about this game is that it mixes all the elements of action combat, you know, unique and kind of telling your own story, adventuring with deck building. And it can sound very overwhelming, but it's all done in a nice way that it feels natural. The first game, a little bit rough around the edges, but the second game does a good job of teaching you through tutorials and kind of guiding you through your first few games to figure out. Also, what I like is usually when you beat a challenge, you'll unlock a new set of cards, and those cards are usually kind of made to help you with the next challenge. So say you beat a challenge and you get a bunch of cards that are like, hey, you can remove curses and stuff. The next challenge is probably you're going to get cursed a few times. It's a good loop. I really enjoy it. I've probably spent well over 30 hours with it.
You remember when the first one came out and it was free on gold?
Yeah, it was like free on gold, but you get the $5 DLC or whatever.
Right. And we looked at it and said, oh, this game is just all the buzzwords that we've ever wanted in games. Yes. And this game can't be good.
And then
we played it and it was amazing.
I still feel like Hand of Fate is the sleeper game.
It is. It was. It was fantastic. I enjoyed it a lot.
Two is definitely, it's a higher production. It looks better. I wouldn't say, don't expect like a AAA game, but it is one of those games, it's nice to sit back and you don't really always have to
it's got repetition actively. In a good way.
Yes.
Did they change the storyteller?
He's the same guy. He wears a different cloak, but...
Voice?
Yes, he's the same dude. You don't play inside a shack. In the first one, you played like in a shack. In the second one, you are moving... In a carriage.
Oh, and sweet.
That's why it's like there's, you know, you're playing this game with carriages. This dealer who sits across from you. And so you're riding in this carriage. And when you look at the challenge, the challenge map, it's like a big kind of 3D.
Like a Warhammer field.
A tabletop thing. So you're moving from challenge to challenge. And so you're reading these cards and you're going through this game. But there's still something going on in the world around you. So the dealer will be like, this is where the Empire fell. And, you know, if you hear something outside the cabin, don't investigate. And so you're moving through this world and then you're also playing another. It's really cool. I don't know. I don't ramble on about it too much longer. But Hand of Fate 2, great. If you want to maybe try the first one, I'm sure it's on Steam for very cheap now. Definitely a fun time if you like Choose Your Own Adventure books. Specifically if you like D&D, because it does borrow a lot from D&D. And if you like action adventure games.
Speaking of D&D.
Yes.
Do you guys still want to play?
Yes.
Is that a thing that we're going to do on the show?
Yeah. I think since 100 is going to be Game of the Year, we'll do it after 100. You know, we'll probably have two or three episodes of Game of the Year stuff, I'm assuming. Last year we did two episodes. And then right after that, it's like game's done quick. So I think that'll be probably 103, 104. That'd be good. Start off the year. Do a little side episode. Because usually how we do it on Super Gamecast 64 is each year is a season. So as we wrap up Game of the Year, that'll be the end of Season 3. And then Season 4 will start, and we can do like a fun little offshot. We'll see how you guys are feeling about that. But yes, for sure. So mid-January or late January, depending on how Game of the Year works out. Let's do... Oh, Black Mirror. Let me talk about this real quick.
Isn't that a show?
Yes. And it was funny because the Twitter, I think there was a hashtag going around attached to that game. It was like, hashtag not the show or something. So Black Mirror is a $30 or $40 indie game. It is... The story lead up is you're this young man and you go to this castle in Scotland because there's an inheritance and you need to be there because weird lawyer set up, creepy castle... it plays out kind of like a Telltale game, which means it's point-and-click adventuring. You're walking around. Sometimes you have to make decisions. But the whole hook of the game is trying to explore the castle and figuring out what's the mystery. There's something creepy. And I don't want to spoil too much because it's a very narrative-driven game. But, you know, your first night in there, you're exploring around. And your father, before he died, gave you this secret note. And it's like, hey... Go to the library and find the answers. And so you go and you investigate the library in old point-and-click walking around hidden fashion. And you see, oh, there's this desk. And it's a riddle. And now I got to find the different pieces.
Oh, it's a riddle. How's a raven like a writing desk?
What? That's a riddle?
Yeah.
How's a raven like a writing desk?
Edgar Allan Poe. It's from Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, I don't know.
Good.
I don't. And who are you? That's the caterpillar from...
You got it.
What's the riddle? No, I mean, you can't just tell. What's the answer?
No,
to the
it's just nonsense.
Oh, damn it. I completely lost my train of thought. What were we talking? Black Mirror. Okay, sorry. Yeah. So like you find this desk and then there's a puzzle and then you run into like a ghost boy. So there's like a creepy horror aspect to it, but the game is weird because it's one of those games that's just a little bit clumsy. The voice acting is really well done. But the facial animations are a little stiff and everything kind of has this gloss with this glow to it. Specifically, the lip syncing is kind of off, which somewhat hurts the performance of the voice acting. The story is interesting, but you're moving around this castle. Maybe there's, I don't know, 8 rooms in the first night you stay. It takes like 20 seconds to load into each room. And so sometimes, because there's no really map that you can check, or at least nothing that I found yet, you're trying to figure out where the different stuff is. You probably go through, enter a room and leave a room 20 times. Like, I played at least 2 hours of this game, and a lot of it was just staring at loading screens. And then specifically, you know you've reached a new point in the game because the loading screen is taking extra long, which means they're loading up a cutscene. What I will say is, unlike Telltale games, it's a little bit prettier than Telltale games, but it's much more puzzle-focused. Much more point-and-click adventure, less dialogue and quick-time events. That stuff exists, but it's more there to be a creepy adventure kind of thing. I'm trying to think who this game would be good for. If you like Telltale games, specifically like The Wolf Among Us, but are looking for maybe something a little bit more period PC, a little bit more dark. I'm trying to think of something.
Gothic.
Gothic. Yes, thank you. Perfect. That's what you're looking for. A little old-timey. Interesting, but a little clumsy. I would probably give a tepid recommendation for point-and-click adventure fans. I'll have to play to the end of it to see. But like I said, very narrative-driven, not a whole lot of gameplay. Good performances, interesting story, which you can't always say for indie games, but just a little bit clumsy to play.
And then at the end, you have to fight each other to the death because you're both...
Wouldn't it be crazy if they made a game where you and a friend played together and then you kept going through all this stuff?
That's the Black Mirror part.
And then at the end, you had to fight each other? There's a meme going on Facebook or something that's everyone says that.
Is
that's
this
Double Dragon.
A remake?
No. Actually, I don't want to say that because I think there might have been an old game called Black Mirror.
There is. There's a lot of them.
Not as far as I know. I don't believe it's a remake, but since the game is kind of old-timey and a period piece, it could be a remake of something. It could even be a remake of a book. Who the hell knows? It's written well.
It could be a remake of a popular TV show.
It could be a remake of a board game that was made into a movie, Battleship,
like 2008.
Jumanji. I hear the Jumanji movie is actually pretty decent.
That's also what I'm hearing.
You know what else is actually pretty decent? Not the Destiny 2 DLC. Black Mirror, you can get it now. It's a fun time.
Real quick.
Yes, go.
October 17th, 2003, released Black Mirror.
Hmm.
Black Mirror 1.
What did they describe it as?
Sorry, it was...
Because this is a game that could have been on PC. If you kind of think like old school Nancy Drew adventure games.
A dark adventure game that details the aftermath of a tragic death of a person. Playing as his grandson,
yes.
Players must travel,
yes.
Must unveil the truth behind the events of the fateful Snorby Night.
Yes.
Interesting.
It's a remake.
Yes. So this is a remake of a, what, 2003 game you said?
Uh-huh.
All right. It looks pretty decent, so it's probably got a visual upgrade, but expect what you would expect from a 2003 adventure game. That's probably the best way to put it. Now that I know it's a remake of a 2003 adventure game, I don't think it should be $40. I think it should be like $25.
So I think it's that. 20 on Steam.
Oh, that would make sense.
You got son.
On Xbox, it's over 20. Because I remember seeing the price and was kind of surprised that it was that high.
Let me just double check.
You can check that real quick while we turn into this Destiny 2 DLC.
Didn't we already talk about it?
Yeah, we kind of did.
We talked about the
from a player's perspective.
Yeah, the whole...
We didn't really talk about the narrative or anything like that.
Well, we have to do more about this stuff after we actually stop recording the show. We have to do a piece about it. But let's just be really brief.
Yes.
Story-wise, what'd you think?
Well, I'll give you a quick primer on it. So, Curse of Osiris is based on a legendary guardian by the name of Osiris, who has a tendency to travel in between... existences, realms, what would you say?
He can, like, he's like the Doctor
Dimensions.
Strange. He's like the Doctor Strange of Destiny.
Yes. So by using these, like, runic stones, he can transfer between different dimensions, different timelines, I would say. Timelines,
yeah, okay, that
is
makes
probably
sense.
A
yeah,
more
yeah.
realistic.
Seems like a Benjamin Button ass.
Nah, quite
Benjamin
like
Button starts old and then gets young. Osiris can just jump around all over at the same age.
So he's like Merlin. No, it's the same thing.
Anyway.
He's like Doc Brown.
He's like Dr. Strange Brown.
Without a DeLorean.
Dr.
Marty.
Strange Brown.
All right, yeah, back on message.
So anyway, he uses these cool little rune cubes that they featured in the cutscene to travel between dimensions. He creates copies of himself that sort of exist to monitor these timelines. And the basic idea of this particular one is that the Vex are up to no good.
Yeah.
The Vex are the robot alien race that wants to turn everything in the universe into robot aliens.
There's a new place you can explore, Mercury.
Mercury.
And then you go there, try and solve the Vex threat.
Very small social area, but the public event that they added, a lot of fun. I like it a lot.
What I would say is that the area itself, Mercury, we can run around on, it's maybe the size of a big multiplayer map.
Yeah, it's like Blood Gulch size.
Yes, and then the public event is the mainstay. The adventures themselves, like the side quests you do in it, and a lot of the quests in the main game do not take place, or not the main game, but the DLC, don't take place on Mercury. They go to other planets, and then you go through like a portal or two. What I will say about the story is it starts really interesting, and then it falls off really flat.
And then it wraps up with a pretty interesting tie-in at the end. And they made it fit narratively as to why you're still on Mercury doing things, you know, like, because for no other reason than you were basically summoned there by, this isn't spoilers, this is something you can see in the trailer for the game. Basically, you discover his ghost, or somebody discovers his ghost on Mercury, you're beckoned there for whatever reason, and you go on your adventure. But basically, it gives you a reason to continue exploring Mercury, exploring the cool multi-dimensional...
It's not just like, hey, you beat it, now run around and have fun. There's
right.
a narrative reason for it. So
right.
it starts strong and strong. The middle of it's very weak. What I'll also say is, narrative-wise, once you're done with the story, that's kind of it. Like, there's not... I mean, there's some narrative peppering in the adventures, but not the kind of stuff you'd expect from Destiny 2's main game.
There's also another important feature that Curse of Osiris added to Destiny, and that is another ex-Firefly cast member.
Who is that?
Marina Baccarin, the one who plays Osiris's ghost. So now...
Nathan Fillion
and Gina Torres.
Pretty soon it's just going to be Destiny 3 Firefly remake.
All they need is Alan Tudyk. And, Shepherd Book died.
Yeah, that's true.
They're
that's
getting
sad.
Close. If you haven't seen Firefly, you should watch Firefly.
Yeah.
You should really watch Firefly.
Yeah.
Binge that. There you go. That's what you should do over Christmas break.
That's actually what I'm doing with Sarah.
Oh, really?
Over Christmas. Like, whatever we
should
time.
You should tell her to wait for Firefly 2.
Firefly 2, the Beckoning, featuring Dorito Pope. So the story, ho-hum, good at some parts. We said that the public event was fun. The adventures are... Wait, what?
I said Serengeti. I meant Serenity.
Serenity, which is the movie that takes
done
place.
Messed up.
It's okay. The public event, fun. The adventures I did not like at all. They're very repetitive.
Yeah.
The strikes that are included in it, which are, you know, the instances you do with three people, copies of missions that were in the main DLC. And those missions, also the middle part, which is uninteresting in my opinion. You know, here's what I have to say about Curse of Osiris in general. I enjoyed playing with my friends. And it's Destiny, so as long as you're shooting people, it fits like a glove. You know, it's fun because it's Destiny. But yeah, I didn't really respect the content. I didn't enjoy the content, besides visually, very cool.
Oh, the visuals were amazing.
The set pieces are like 90% of what I enjoyed about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But once you're done with like the 4 hours of content they give you, it's a little bit hollow. I mean, you had a good time with your friends, but I feel like this is just another Destiny DLC that's a half measure until they get to their big one whenever they're going
to
do that.
Yeah, I mean, suffice to say, I was really back on board for about 5 hours.
Yeah, I was in it for 5 hours.
And then I was like, cool.
Tyler, you're making a face.
Did it.
That's sad. That's sad to me.
Yeah, I know, because I was really looking forward to like more treadmill.
Right?
More good treadmill. Because that's what Destiny's known for, is good treadmill.
And the main issue once again with the the main issue once again, Kat, there's a treadmill in the room. The main issue is that people were expecting more of that grind to come with this post-release content, and then when they fixed the DLC stuff they messed up, they removed all those events.
I got a fever.
For?
The only prescription.
The only cure is more treadmill.
It's
that's like 90% of my problem.
And that's the thing too, is I have a lot of friends who are super into the grind. Our friend Dan has three characters, all the different classes, and you know he's almost max level on all of them. And he says there's barely a reason to play. One of the biggest issues with Curse of Osiris was that it released this new weapon called the Prometheus Lens that completely ruined all of PvP for that entire week.
So Prometheus Lens came out, and people were like, they were noticing it in PvP. They're like, this is pretty broken.
Because there's a difference between shooting aliens like in the quests and shooting people in the online multiplayer. Weapons work a little bit differently.
They were like, this is pretty broken. Maybe they should patch it or you know, nerf it a little bit. And so Destiny's like, okay. And they released it the very next weekend for Xur, so everyone could get it.
What that means multiplayer, to the layman is that it was a weapon that you might be lucky enough to get randomly. You know, it's a very rare weapon. And instead of, when people found out it was broken, instead of fixing it, they just gave it to everybody. So what all Team Deathmatch, everything was, and the Prometheus Lens is just a big laser that
shoots out. It's cold
hard. Yeah.
But it's hot.
So it's just a big red laser that shoots out. Everybody would just be using a laser. Everybody.
Literally just turned into laser tag.
Terrible. So not only was the Destiny DLC content, the quest content, a little bit underwhelming, but you couldn't just go and play PvP because that was also ruined by the Prometheus Lens. And the raid lair, fun-ish for the beginning part.
I liked it.
Yeah. There's like jumping puzzles and stuff.
I love the jumping puzzles.
Fun. And there's, I will say that set piece moments in the raid lair are much better. I would say the raid lair is better than the original raid, but the end boss is still super annoying. You can know exactly what you're doing. And the frame rate gets very bad at points.
I've heard it's dead simple, too. Like, frustratingly simple.
Yes. Yes.
Everything up to that point is mind-meltingly difficult.
To give you an idea, first raid, we were all new. It took us maybe, like, 6 hours to clear one encounter. We jumped in. I had never beat it. We got a new person online who never played it. We did everything up to the first boss. First try, no issue. We beat the first phase of the boss in, like, three goes. And then 3 hours on the last phase. So we had no issue. Everyone was max light level. It's just one of those stupid things where it's kind of padded out to be silly. And it's the issue. It's like, I look forward to the boss the most. And also, the boss is really the only combat encounter in that raid lair. Everything else is just jumping around. So that was a little bit disappointing as well. So Destiny 2 DLC, if you're playing Destiny 2, you mean go ahead, buy it, sure. It's $15.
It's fun. It's, you know.
Just don't expect Taken King.
Right.
And don't expect to get any more than five extra hours.
It is safe. What they did was safe.
Yes.
I thought you said five showers.
Five showers. You might need a shower after that raid lair. Because it's going to make you feel all sorts of ways. There was a lot of games, and there's still more games that I have to play. That's going to wrap up our like console game section. We do have a mobile corner that we're going to jump into here.
Hey, I can finally get to talk.
But
you know, you can talk this whole time.
You know that I don't have an opinion on a game I hadn't played.
Tyler does not play a lot of these games. He is the mobile guy. He's also the Nintendo guy.
There was something I did play on console before we wrap this up, though.
Yes.
I was a part of the Mod
Monster Hunter Beta.
Yes, tell me about that. Monster Hunter Beta came out on the PS4. I watched my younger brother play it. It looks kind of like what I expect from Monster Hunter, but prettier. And
prettier.
It seems to be a little bit more forgiving. Kevin is making strained faces, which I will let him explain soon. But Tyler, tell me all about the Monster Hunter Beta.
I want to know about your strained faces.
I just want to play so bad.
Oh, okay.
He
doesn't have a PS4. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I just want to play.
Well, here's what we can say is that it's only so long. You know, you're not really missing out on too much.
Yeah, three quests. Big deal. Yeah,
it's not even the beta. I'm not even worried. I just want to play Monster.
Oh, he wants to play the game. It comes out January 16th?
26th.
26th. So we're less than a month away. Wait, no,
we're a little over a month away.
That's too long.
But okay, I know. Explain to them. I am a Monster Hunter newbie.
It's a month and 2 weeks.
So for me, it looked like he was just hunting these big monsters and trying to aim at certain parts of their body.
That is,
you got it. That's really
Monster
it.
Hunter. You nailed it.
Yeah.
the cat guy
falling around.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. What they added to this one that's different from the others. Yes. Instead of having a... No, this is minutia. Tracking?
Yes.
You have to literally track the monster. You find its footprints. You find whatever it drops, whether it be scales.
Poop.
Poop.
I did see some of that.
There's a lot of
claw
poop.
Scratching. Mucus.
Ooh.
Anjanath. That's a monster. That's how you say its name.
one more time for the people in the back.
Enjanath.
Giganox.
This is a game that is Square Enix. Wait, who makes this?
This is Capcom.
Oh, Capcom. Sorry.
Squeenix has nothing to do with it. Yes. They had a partnership last time around where they gave us this cool armor.
Okay,
that's
probably why I was thinking of Squeenix.
Quest. What you know about Monster Hunter is still there. What is different... There are no loading screens between zones.
That was a big thing, yeah.
What?
In normal Monster Hunter,
so
like a map would be broken up.
You can't zone.
So
you have to escape.
Real quick.
There is danger.
Primer, for those of you who don't know. Monster Hunter is a game where you hunt monsters.
Four-player co-op, right?
Four-player co-op.
Maximum.
Basically, the storyline is always some form of... You come to a small podunk village. They hire you to hunt or repel monsters from said village. You then fight monsters, break off their body parts, their skin, their heads, whatever.
Their horns, their tails.
And you make armor or weapons out of it. Now, it's not as graphic as it sounds. It's represented by like small moments in the fight where the monster will recoil.
It's not as and, graphic? Like, I would think it would be cooler if you like chopped off its face. Freaking head.
You don't
That'd
at all.
That'd be way cooler.
Then you should play...
Dragon's Dogma?
I don't know. I didn't play that. God's Eater.
Okay, I've heard good things about that. Get to you, Kevin.
So, Monster Hunter, a couple things it's known for. One, it's huge. Huge.
A lot of content in that game.
Huge.
Do you want a number attached to that?
No. I'm
Are
just
you
saying,
sure?
I was going to say it's huge in Japan.
I mean, it's huge all over the place.
Yeah,
it's huge all
Japan.
Over the place.
But the game is also very large in content.
Oh, yes. I was going to say like 600 hours minimum.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
How many hours do you think our friend group has logged on Monster Hunter?
Do you want a collective or do you want Josh?
Collective.
Okay, because...
some people play more than others is what Tyler's getting around to.
Yeah. Collectively...
Do you need some time to figure it out?
20,000 hours.
That's a lot of hours.
I'm not joking. Between Josh and Jesse, then you and me. And Rush.
There's one thing I always knew about you guys, and it was I never played Monster Hunter because it was a 3DS thing, but I knew you guys played Monster Hunter, and that was like I know these six play this game because it's not all you talked about, but it was a mainstay. Something you always came back to in hours and hours. I remember when it came out on 3DS, you guys like took off work.
All of us took the day off work.
16 hours straight 19, or something?
We played 19 hours straight.
Hours.
Yeah. Like, you guys were dedicated to
We literally woke up at 7, played. Until well into the night.
Yeah.
And then some.
I bought a new 3DS.
Remember that?
That's when I bought my new 3DS.
And
it didn't come with Monster Hunter. I had to go back to GameStop.
It's one of those games Fuckers. Where people are wearing out their systems by playing it.
Yeah, you have to hold down R to run. So you literally break your buttons.
Which is why I'm super because psyched that it's coming to console. Because having it on a normal size controller is going to be a godsend.
I guess it's probably going to be hard to parse from just the beta content. But do you think this is a Monster Hunter that has the legs for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours?
You know what's funny?
What?
I can tell you right now that it has the legs.
Why? Do you know
even
that?
Even from the beta content. Because
Well, you would know.
There are event quests, okay? So there's not just the story and the side missions. Mm-hmm. There are things that Monster Hunter does for their community every week.
So they're really good about following, keeping up with things.
Yes.
They are.
So following release on 3DS for 42 weeks in a row, they put out four new quests weekly.
And that's what you want to get.
Yeah. Within reason, that is kind of rinse and repeat. But as a hunter, it ends up being a lot of fun because, you know, you could need specific parts from a specific monster. And the quest that came out last week, well, you get to keep that quest from that point on. And that might contain two out of the four monsters that you fight in that quest might be the ones you need parts from. So it helps streamline the end game process while still being exciting and new content for new players. That being said, they also give it a little time to kind of ferment a little bit and let you get used to the semi-serious tone of the game in terms of the narrative structure. And then they start throwing in things like cool Palico armors.
But this is the 3DS one. We can't say
yes, that's correct.
Still a thing in the game.
All right, cool.
It's not something they're going to remove. They'll do things from other Capcom titles. Like your Palico can look like X.
Original, the trailer. You saw the Mega Man thing?
There was the Samus armor.
He gets to be Mega Man this time around. The Palico is...
There you go.
8-bit,
which is like a little companion Mega Man.
That's a little cat that follows you around.
They put Samus armor in the 3DS version with a great bow that looks like Samus's blaster and things like that. Like they really do a great job of like just bringing you along, you know. And the beauty of the most recent 3DS one... And this is probably the final point I need to make.
Yeah, because we're like an hour and 10 minutes. I'm thinking about less mobile corner.
The beauty of the 3DS one was that they made it more accessible to more casual fans without ruining the game, without making it less intensive for other players. They made a lot of quality of life improvements to the game that...
just you wait.
Some people would consider, like purists would consider complete drivel, but... Even me, a latecomer to the series, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it does look at least like a little bit more inviting.
Yes,
comparative to like the 3DS version,
it's wholly in comfortable.
So it's welcoming to newcomers. That's what I need. All right, so those are the games that we played. There's a few mobile games we played as well. Since we're running a little bit late, I will just be brief about mine. Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. I'm still playing it. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I think it's still a fun grind. Recently, they had the Christmas content, and also gardening got announced. So we'll talk about that. I'm like level 35. If you haven't tried it, give it a go. I have still not spent any money on it. I heard people complaining about how, Tom Nook and KK Slider, you can only buy them with cards, like, you know, the paid currency. And it's so hard to get that. I could have bought both of them twice over and had no issue with it. This is not a game that you're going to get charged for. This isn't. I have no want to even pay money for this game because all the stuff you get by paying money, you can very easily grind by leveling up and playing the game. So it's at least a free-to-play game that doesn't push you to buy stuff all the time.
Oh, it's because it's not competitive by nature.
And the economy is all based upon your friend group, you know? So if you want to charge 5 bajillion coins for an item, you can. Or if you want to give it away for 100 gold, that's you. It's just you and your friends. There's no competitive nature. And they're updating stuff all the time, which is good. Tyler, tell me about this Underhand game, but be brief because I think we're going to talk about it, you said, in a few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be talking about this in a few weeks.
Give him the back of the box because when you explain it to me.
Give him a teaser.
Wait, didn't you explain it as like another game, but
can
this?
Can you nail it in 10?
I can try.
Yeah, let's do a tenner.
I can try.
Can you nail it in 10?
What kind of music do you want for this? Like, let me mark this because I got to make sure I know where we're at. Okay, we're at like an hour and 13. What kind of music would you like for your...
Does Hand of Fate have music?
Yeah.
Play that.
Okay, cool. So this is what Underhand for the phone is in 10 words or less. Whenever you're ready, Tyler, let's start the music.
Hand of Fate meets the occult.
Buzzwords.
In resource management game.
Nice, dude.
There you go.
Altogether, that was Hand of Fate meets the occult. In resource management,
I'm gonna replace in with a simple. simple resource management game.
Yes, because resource management, like I said, with Hand of Fate, that can sound overwhelming. You don't like to micromanage when you're playing your game. But if it's done well, inventory management can be very fun.
It kind of reminds me of Reigns in a way.
It does. I agree with that.
Reigns is something we were also very hot on. We're probably going to talk about that in GOTY.
Did you guys see Reigns, Her Majesty?
Yeah. Well, we
no.
I think we said that on the show that it was coming out, but is it out now?
It's out.
Yes! Okay, sweet.
Another $3, Devolver.
It's fine. I'm paying it.
I mean, it's worth it. It's doing
it. Right now, I haven't even beat the first one.
Same. Like, I'm a little over 100 cards short, but like... It's so fun.
So Reigns and Reigns Her Majesty, which Reigns you take control of a king, Reigns Her Majesty you take control of a queen. They're fun little card games. Go and buy them right now. Devolver Digital, $3 a piece. I don't want to overtake your underhand talk. So
overtake underhand.
Overcooked.
it's a very it was designed well. What really did it for me was the atmosphere that they set.
The atmosphere's fantastic.
So every now and again you'll. Because you are a cult, you'll recruit people.
Yeah.
Or you'll abduct children.
Yep. Okay.
Or you'll steal people away or just have people assassinated. Mm-hmm.
Does this play out in text or is it like kind of like a menu system?
It's like cards.
Okay. Yeah. So the view of the game that you get is a wooden table, I guess you could assume.
Absolutely.
In the center of the table is an eye that's basically like a stylistic eye carved into the table.
Yeah.
Almost like the Illuminati eye,
right.
Sort of. And
which
every
is your
once in a while.
Sacrificial altar, quote unquote.
Yeah. Cool. And so, like, when you play cards, they'll burn up and the eye will light on fire.
Okay.
And so it's just that. It's over and over again. You have a hand, there's up to three cards that you choose from based on the action you want to take. And then that fills your hand with various resources.
And you're trying to, what's the ultimate goal? Just to make the best cult ever?
To summon a god.
Okay, cool.
And the first god you summon is the god of beginnings.
Okay, so
they teach you how to do that.
And then, all right, so is it...
You cannot fail.
You've played quite a bit of this game?
Yeah, there are 6 gods to summon. I've summoned them all. They're
that's what I was curious about. Like, what's the end game stuff like? What's the replayability?
So after you summon a god, you gain a boon from that god. It adds it adds 2 cards to your deck.
Okay, cool.
That will change the game in some way, shape, or form once.
Nice.
Per card. So that card will be removed from the deck, and you can't just continuously gain the boon. Actually,
you might be able to cheese it.
You might be able to cheese it now that I'm.
But you beat
about
the god,
it.
You get the buff.
You summon the god, you get the buffs, and you keep moving. While you open a tea shop, you go fishing, you speak the sacred words, you make lots of sacrifices.
See, that's kind of like in the same way that I'm glad you compared it to Hand of Fate. It seems like the game structure is there to service the fun little stories you have within
it.
Yes.
And that's exactly what Hand of Fate is there too.
So the reason I brought up the kidnapping and the stealing people
the
away.
Child abduction, all that
sounds
dark as hell.
Yeah. Is because of the radio. There's
like literally?
There are literal pre-recorded radio transmissions. It sounds like
kinda
old
like,
AM.
You remember the radio from Legend of Korra?
I didn't
like
watch
the radio
yes.
announcer from Legend of Korra.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. It's like in this news, 13 kids were kidnapped today and
your old timey church crier kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Church crier.
Yeah.
Keep a watch out for little Jimmy and your darling little Susie.
Yes.
Don't let them fall into the wrong hands.
Very interesting.
And the other one is like, in other news, the milkman hasn't been seen today because you've recruited him to your cult.
And stylistically, what kind is it like realism? Is it, it sounds like it might be hand painted, but what's the visual style of it?
It looks hand drawn.
It does.
Okay, cool.
It's very
this was made
stylized.
By like 2 or 3 students, a group
nice.
Of kids.
The mechanic of the game
college
is like
kids,
you exchange your resources for other resources, and it's a balance, just like Reigns.
Just like Reigns.
One of the resources you can get isn't a good resource though, and it's paranoia. Or I'm sorry, is it paranoia or is it suspicion?
Or something?
Suspicion.
That sound like
S.
Yeah. So when you kidnap townspeople,
it's
you
like cave paintings or wall paintings.
When you kidnap townspeople, you provoke their
cool.
suspicion.
That was also incorrect. There are 7.
7 guys.
You provoke their suspicion, and one of the mechanics of the game is after a certain amount of cards in your hand, you have to discard. So in some ways you can use that to your advantage by making some of the discard being suspicion. After a certain amount of suspicion, you run the risk of drawing a card on your next turn that will in some way hinder you. So Sounds it's great. This like cool balance.
Yeah, if you have five or more suspicion, the cops will show up.
Yes.
If you have 15 or more cards, you are inflicted with greed, and the god that you are currently serving will take 5 random cards from you.
It sounds like there's a lot of little nuances.
It's very cool. It's very fun.
We'll definitely revisit it. You seem to have a fire burn under your ass for that game.
I couldn't stop playing it until I beat it. I think it took me 2-3 hours, but...
Oh, but I mean, you wrapped it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's on my list.
I like games that are tight, that are, you know, short experiences, really fun.
It's exactly what it is.
Good. So, and how much is it, do you know?
Free.
Okay, so Underhand, free. Go ahead and grab it. And maybe if you like Underhand...
I'd give them $10.
Try out Reigns, you know? Support the indies, but also support the students.
That's what I'm talking about. I'd give them $10 for this game. This very short game.
I mean, I'd give them $10. I'd give Devolver $10 for Reigns, you know?
That's just Devolver, absolutely.
Let's wrap this stuff up just real quick. Capcom released Puzzle Fighter. If you played Puzzle Fighter, it's kind of like a match 3, match 4. You make like 4x4, 2x2, different collections of gems. You blow them up, you get points, but on the top you got little Street Fighter people. They punch each other. The game is PvP. It also has missions. It's your standard free-to-play thing. There's gems. You level
up
like both cards.
It's like Combat Tetris.
Yeah, exactly. So that's free to start. So if you like Street Fighter and you like puzzle games, maybe give it a go. Try out a few things. I've been enjoying it. Tyler, you've been playing it.
I enjoy it an awful lot. I don't play it as much as I play my other stupid games, but hey, what do you know?
I agree. The only thing I want to hear about this is what do you pick? Who's your person? Who do you fight with?
Frank West, duh. Ooh,
I have Chun-Li, and then Frank West is my support.
I have the mayor.
Hager.
Yeah, Hager. As my
so there's a lot of characters, and they, you support. Know, like some are good, that you if you blow up blue gems, you do more. Some characters, you blow up red gems, you do more. It's pretty simple to figure out, and the PvP is easy enough. So definitely grab that free as well. And there's also a Katamari, Amazing Katamari is what it's called. So a lot of new phone games coming out.
There's a big Clash update, but we don't have to talk about that right now.
Electrifying.
Clash Royale is always fun. Clash Royale is kind of like one of those games, kind of like Puzzle Fighter, and you play it for
a
few minutes.
Stop.
And it you just play against somebody, you get fixed, and
I'm climbing that ladder. I'm almost 3,600 trophies, Kev.
Gotta be the best. So, episode 98 was fun. It was a little rocky, guys. It's been back. It's always weird, the episode before Christmas. We're playing so many different things. Everyone's doing their own stuff. We got so much Christmas stuff going on. So sorry if we were a little bit rocky there in the beginning and throughout the whole thing.
Did you guys finish your Christmas shopping yet?
I don't have money for Christmas. I'm not even buying Christmas gifts. I'm saving up for next year's Christmas gift for my girlfriend.
I'll make yours later.
What? Oh, that's right. We do like a little gift exchange thing or something. I have no money for anything.
It's really okay. I think everyone has no money this year, and we're not even doing
Let's
like
all
the
just
regular
hug each other, you know, and just be like, I love you.
Honestly, if everyone just shows up to the party, I think we got a pretty good gift.
There we go. It's like we said at the beginning. Wow, what a way to cap it. Good, Tyler. Like we said at the beginning.
It's so heartwarming.
It's time of the year.
We should go to Netflix and turn on the fake fireplace.
That's the plan.
That is a thing.
They have the fake fireplace.
It's a real thing, yeah.
Okay, hell yeah.
Stupid funny.
While you're there, check out Planet Earth 2 on Christmas coming out if you didn't
watch
it.
Planet of the Earth.
Also, actually, Black Mirror Season 4, not the game, the show, December 30th or December 29th. So
and then you can go play some Ready Player One Known's Battleground Arena.
Ready Player One had a new trailer that came out. Yeah, it was one that had Tracer from Blizzard in it. That was a fun time.
And, for literally a third of a second.
And Iron Giant.
Uh-huh.
That's and Chun-Li.
What that is the end of the whole entire...
Did you watch the ProZD video about that?
No.
I'll link it to you and you can check it out. It's awesome. Very funny. I'm not going to spoil it.
That's pretty much all we got, guys. That's pretty much... Kevin, do you have a spicy game fact?
I actually have two. I had one prepared and then somebody sent me...
Well, hold on. Because the spicy game fact is always after we do our
plugs.
Of course.
I'm going to bring it up. I gotta mention it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I had one prepared, and somebody sent me something while we were recording here, and it completely changed the game fact. So I'm just gonna give you both.
All right, cool. So
game fact,
guys, it was an excellent episode. Episode 99 is gonna be our Christmas episode. We're gonna spend so much Christmas cheer, and then like we said, 100 and 101 will probably be best of 2017. And that you can look forward to some yelling. It might get awkward at points. Who knows? It's always spicy at Game of the Year time.
I'm going to yell at you fools so hard.
And then at D&D, maybe a little bit after that. So much stuff coming up. If you guys want to follow us, there's so many places you can do it. You can go on the Facebook. We have a Facebook group, so that's facebook.com/SGC and then 64 spelled out. Supergamecast64 on Twitter. If you want to reach me personally on Twitter, I'm at SGC64Matt.
I'm at gingerbeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm at T. Tremaglio.
If you want to email us, that's SGC64@gmail.com. If you want to subscribe to us, if you're not on iTunes, there's Stitcher. Wait, what?
Subscribe
to us. Definitely give us some 5-star reviews
like
on
and
iTunes.
Subscribe. Yep. Hit that subscribe button.
I don't know how it even works.
Comment.
But 5-star it on iTunes, for real.
Monetize.
Wham! Right in the back.
If you leave a review, our review robot 2K12-3000 will read it out. Every time I say that, I remember I have not looked up reviews. So if you've reviewed in the past like 2 months, we'll get to you for Christmas.
I also might have a spicy copy of Yooka-Laylee on deck.
We do.
Yooka Spice.
We do. And maybe I'll finally give Kevin his $20 at PSN. not you, Kevin, the other Kevin. Speaking of other Kevin and all of our friends in podcast world, let's give a nice shout out to our plugs, people we work for. Me, Kevin, work for a 90skid.com. If you like JRPGs and stuff, our colleague Matt.
And stuff.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much JRPGs, but there's also video reviews, and like I said, we did the live stuff. We have a YouTube channel, also a 90skid.com for our writing. If you want to check out some other cool podcasts, they're shown in Trash. That's an anime cast. It's done by our good friends Lauren, Vince, and Kevin. Do you have a podcast to recommend for us, Kevin?
Yes, I would like to recommend our friends over at Choose My Own Adventure podcast. Our friend Mark and his cadre of Funky Bunch.
Yeah, good stuff.
Really cool fan chosen D&D style podcast, tabletop style podcast.
So yeah, Tyler, do you?
And I wanted to also give a shout out to all
no,
of the. I wanted to give a shout out to all the new people that might be tuning in from our Mabim Bambino podcaster Facebook group
welcome.
That we joined.
Yeah, rough one to start off on. Well, the last one.
Well,
was
yeah, most of the recent ones have been rough, but hey,
we're getting back.
Humble beginnings, up. Right?
season 4
fiery,
will be better. I promise.
Flaming ends.
yeah, it's been a good time. Like I said, 5-star on iTunes. All this stuff, guys. We love you so much. And with that, let's move over here to Kevin. Kevin, what's our game fact, bro?
So the original creators of Okami, Clover, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can't wait to play this game.
They originally intended the game to be more realistic looking than the art style that they decided on. But they came to terms with the fact that the PS2 did not have the hardware to support that. And apparently there is an Easter egg in which you can unlock the original view.
I wonder if that's something I can get in the HD version.
Maybe. Oh,
I'll tell
man.
You. I'll tell you. It's 56 hours, supposedly, to 100% that, so we'll find out. Kevin, what is this other spicy
This one
game
is
fact?
Very exciting to me. It is not a video game fact, per se. It is video game
adjacent. There you go.
Can you guys... I'm going to ask you this question, because it is a bit interesting. I want to see if you can link it together.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what the poop emoji has in common with Dragon Ball Z?
I don't even watch Dragon Ball Z.
you don't need to.
The same color eyes.
No.
The shape of the hair.
No.
They're both shit.
The original design.
I think you just pissed people off.
I like DBZ.
The original design of the poop emoji was inspired by a manga from the 1980s called Dr. Slump. Written by
the same guy that wrote Dragon Ball.
The only Akira Toriyama.
Guys, Dragon Ball Z is a good time. I didn't mean to talk shit. I don't know about this Dragon Ball Super shit. People talking about that say they
apparently it's good.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Dragon Ball all across the board. That's interesting though. I always thought that the original poop emojis kind of look like the slimes from Dragon Quest.
Yeah, I do too.
You know what I mean? You play more Dragon Quest than me, right, Tyler?
Yeah. Slimes look like Hershey Kisses.
Yeah, true story.
Doesn't look like that. Oh my god, I didn't know. I never know. Actually, that makes sense because like the Digimon.
Yep.
What's his name? Sugamon?
Dr. Slump is
with Poopamon?
Yeah, go ahead Google that. Or maybe throw that on the Twitter for the fans. Anyways, guys, yeah, thanks for listening. It's been an episode. We'll see you guys back here. If we don't see you before Christmas,
we'll see you after Christmas.
Yeah. Have a merry one. If you're not celebrating Christmas, just enjoy it, you know? Whatever you want to do on the 25th, go see some good movies.
Star Wars.
Go. Well, that's this
Shape of Water? I want to see that desperately.
I don't know about that.
And it's not playing anywhere near us.
Yeah. The Disaster Artist. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. And as always, imagine a world completely under frozen water.
Let it go.
That... I got nothing.